Answers from attorneys on Ask the Expert are not substitutes for the advice of an attorney. Ask the Expert is a public forum, and questions and responses are not private or confidential or protected by the attorney-client privilege. Attorney is not your attorney, and any statement by attorney is not legal advice. You should not understand any statement in response to any question to propose specific action or address specific circumstances, but only to give you a sense of general principles of law that might affect the situation you describe. Application of these general principles to particular circumstances must be done by a lawyer who has spoken with you in confidence, learned all relevant information, and explored various options. Before acting on these general principles, you should hire a lawyer licensed to practice law in the jurisdiction to which your question pertains. Many legal matters are time-sensitive. You should act without delay in order to protect your rights and interests. By answering questions, attorneys do not form attorney-client relationships with callers.
Ask the Expert this morning is brought to you by the Aronson & Moss Law Firm.
Well, good morning and welcome to Ask the Expert. I'm Jim Doyne along with Jim Reddick. And Jim, of course, is an attorney with the Aronson & Moss Law Firm. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Great. Jim, thank you for having us back again.
You betcha. Glad to have you here. And if anyone has a legal question, I guess you'd say, if you'd like to give Jim a call this morning, you certainly can at 365-0600, 1-800-332-5401, or *600 on your U.S. cellular phone. Well, I know when you were here before, we talked a little bit about the area that you practice and like to be involved in, and trusts and things of that nature, and irrevocable trusts. And what to do with your money if you die, right?
Correct. Estate planning and trusts and probate, yes.
And now, today, though, I think we're going to talk about what the Aronson & Moss Law Firm does in general and even specifically in some things, because not everybody does everything, do they?
You're absolutely right on that. I'm sure the people have heard not only me talking about trusts and estates. We've had Rebecca Feiereisen on here talking about family law and Christopher Nathan talking about criminal law, but actually the biggest portion of the work that we do at our law firm is helping people who are in business, doing business and commercial matters and related real estate things.
Now, when you mention that, there's all kinds of business matters, and that can encompass a lot of areas. So what do you mean business matters?
Right. We can break that down into doing things such as forming a business, buying a business, selling a business. With the business itself, there's questions about the ownership, management, who makes decisions. We put together legal documents that will put that down in writing so there's no disputes later on. Many businesses have employees, so there's questions about setting up employee manuals or policies or contracts for their compensation, bonuses, commissions, things of that nature. In addition to that, most businesses are going to be doing things with other people. When you have a trade, legally, that's a contract. And so we deal a lot with contracts, and those contracts could be like a procurement contract where we may look at it for our client and, you know, help them try to negotiate it. Sometimes people don't do what they promise to do in the contract, and then you've got a breach.
I see.
And so we will help people try, help our clients try to collect their money or get the performance that is due to them. And sometimes that means going to court, too.
Are there a lot of new startups now, do you find that? Or are you seeing businesses merge or expand? What are you seeing the most of?
At our firm, we're probably seeing more startups than anything. I would have to say that in the last year or year and a half, it seemed like it was slow. But we've really picked up in the last 3 or 4 months.
Well, how do you know whether to say, oh, let's form a corporation, or let's form a partnership, or an LLC. What's an LLC as opposed to a corporation? Things of this nature. How do you determine what it is in the best interests of your client?
Well, that's a great question. One of the first things we want to do is make sure that we're focusing on what our goal is, and our goal is to get to know the client, get to know the client's objectives, and to help the client achieve those objectives in hopefully a cost-efficient way. So if somebody comes in and says, I want to start a business, the first thing we want to do is find out what's the nature of the business, what do they plan for it in the future, because those things are going to make some difference. Mm-hmm. Also, we want to know, do they, and this is very important, do they plan to have other people involved? If they do, is that going to be as a partner, an investor, just an employee? Because that's really where you're going to find a lot of potential disputes. One of the things that we try to do as lawyers is set the stage so that you're going to minimize any disputes that come up. And when they do come up, as it seems like inevitably they do, mm-hmm. that we'll have a framework for dealing with them so they don't spin out of control.
Well, now, do you then determine whether it's a corporation or a partnership? Now, if it's a silent partner, are you going to maybe lean toward a corporation instead? And then when do you bring in a subchapter S corporation, which is another story?
Right. If we have a silent partner, we're going to be looking at a structure other than really a partnership. Because a silent partner is somebody, it's sort of a misnomer under legal technical, the way that we look at it. Under law, a general partner is just as responsible for the decision making and financially responsible as any other general partner.
Well, then would you have, say, I don't mean to interrupt here, but then would you have a sole proprietor and an investor? Would you be better off with something like that as opposed to maybe a silent partner?
Well, if you had a sole investor and proprietor
and an investor
who's investing, essentially he's just making a loan.
Okay, right.
He's
that's right.
He's just making
a loan.
Right. Yeah. And there are reasons why people don't want to be a sole proprietor.
Okay.
One of them is to limit their potential liability that can come from their business.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you want to limit your liability, you have essentially two choices. Those choices are to either to form a corporation
mm-hmm.
or to form a limited liability company.
That's
limited
your LLC, liability. Right?
Correct. I was just going to tell you that.
Okay.
Limited liability company is also known as an LLC. It's a lot easier to say, uh-huh. and that's what people talk about.
What's the difference between a corporation and an LLC then?
The difference between them has to do with the way that they are managed between the investors, the mm-hmm. owners, and that's set up by statute. A corporation, the law here in Iowa, the Model Business Corporation Act, says that you have to have shareholders, you have to have officers, and you have to have directors. Your officers are your president, your vice president, your secretary, treasurer, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are special provisions that say what the shareholders' rights are. A limited liability company is more related to a partnership. There was the idea, it started probably about 20, 25 years ago here in this country, that we like partnerships when we have a smaller company because, individually we want to talk to each other and decide how we're going to run the business. But with a partnership, there's some exposure because if the guy that we're doing business with or the woman suddenly does something crazy, we could be totally financially responsible for that. And we don't like that.
Are all partnerships then 50-50?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. A partnership can be set up in any sort of percentage that you want to do it. You can allocate responsibilities between people. It doesn't all have to be the same. What you need to do, or the wise thing to do, is to have a written agreement that specifies how it's going to happen. And you want to have that written agreement, whether it's the classic general partnership, or whether it's a limited partnership, or whether it is an LLC.
I see. So the recommendation then from you at Aronson & Moss Law Firm would be, depending on what their situation is, this is what we're going to recommend. Is that right? What's best for them?
Correct. That's what's best for them. Just about everybody who comes in, we are going to suggest that they have some form of limited liability. So that will either be a corporation or an LLC.
So when do you get into a subchapter S then?
Okay. Subchapter S has to do with the way a company is taxed. So a corporation is a legal entity, and then you can elect as a shareholder whether to tax it under what they call C or S. The S is similar to a partnership. Most LLCs are going to elect to be taxed like partnerships, but you know, interestingly and confusingly, they could elect to be taxed as a corporation or as an S corporation.
That's why we need Jim Reddick, because we get a little confused on some of these, right?
Correct.
I mean, you really got to know what you're into here.
Right. It's not as simple as just pulling out a form and checking some boxes.
Absolutely. Jim Reddick is here. He's an attorney with Aronson & Moss Law Firm. We have to take a break, but tell everybody where the law firm is located and your phone number.
Sure. Our office is in downtown Cedar Rapids at 425 2nd Street Southeast. We're on the 9th floor. You can contact us by phone at 319-363-8199, and we have a really great looking website at www.aronsonlaw.com. That's aronsonlaw.com.
Very good. We'll come back and we'll talk more with Jim Reddick in just a moment. You're listening to the Ask the Expert on 600 WMT.
600 WMT.
And welcome back. It's Ask the Expert on 600 WMT. Jim Reddick is with me, Aronson and Moss Law Firm. And we're going to talk about starting up a business. And it's not as simple as everybody thinks. You can't go downtown, just hang a shingle and say, here I am, I'm going to start selling widgets, right?
You don't want to do that.
You don't want
to do that, because if that's all you're doing, you're not thinking about all of the things that you might be required to do by law,
mm-hmm.
and you're not thinking about what could possibly go wrong. And that's really why we suggest you should come and talk to a lawyer.
What could possibly go wrong, Jim?
What could possibly go wrong? Well, if you don't get the license that you are supposed to have, you could get some government agency sideways with you. That could result in fines. Maybe your business would be shut down. Those are some things that can happen that way. If you're not thinking about the potential liability that you have, do you know what happens if a customer comes in your door and slips on that rain that came through, you know, the entryway and falls and hurts themselves? How are you going to handle that? That's an example. Or what if they give you sign a contract and don't do what they're supposed to do?
Is the nature of the business, is this important to what they're doing in their business?
Absolutely it is. I believe I mentioned in the first segment that we want to try and minimize the risks that our clients are going to face. And one of the things that you have to do is look at the nature of the business that you have, because there are some risks that are inherent in just about any kind of business. Now, for example, not too long ago, I had an individual come in and say, I want to have a food truck that we're going to take out on the weekends, you know, go to fairs, et cetera, and sell things. Well, you're going to have some risk in there, because you're selling food, and you better make sure that it's going to be, handled properly with good ingredients, so you don't have a bunch of sick people.
You don't want spoiled food. Is that what you're trying to say?
You don't want to have spoiled food, and you don't want to sell it to somebody, because that would be
Absolutely.
A risk. Now, you contrast that, for example, with somebody who has a like a convenience store,
mm-hmm.
gas station and convenience store. You've got some potential risk with handling, obviously, the flammable materials. Excuse me there. And you've got also in a convenience store, you've got a store situation, people coming in and out and going, and then there's the risk, like I mentioned earlier, what if somebody falls? What if somebody gets hurt? What if the people who are there hurt somebody else who's there? Those are things that you want to look at.
Go ahead.
Now, in the case of convenience store, one of the things that we like to do is talk to the people about kind of separating some of those risks. There's an operating risk there with the convenience store thing. And what you want to do is you want to protect your investment in the land and the pumps, et cetera, and everything. So what we will normally do is we'll talk to people and say, you should set up one company that will own the land and rent it to a second company that you set up that will run the business. And that way, if, God forbid, mm-hmm. something should happen and your business gets sued and has a terrible liability that it can't cover, you know, that business goes away, but you've still got an asset left in the land and there's no judgment against it.
Interesting. Now, when you get into this also, and you kind of touched on it here a minute ago, is there any financial aspect to this? Do you want to talk to them about their finances? All right, you invested so much money. Where do you want to be in the future? How do you want to do this? I mean, how can you be solvent?
Correct. that is something that we talk about. We need to know how much money they're putting in. If you have a partner or co-owner, that really gets important because, you know, unfortunately, just like all marriages don't last, not all co-ownerships last, and having some idea of how the money is going to come out if somebody leaves is going to be very important. If you've got a business that's, you know, that needs operating capital and all of a sudden the person you're working with says, I want to get out, you know, pay me $50,000 or $100,000, where are you going to get that money?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do that. So one of the things we do when we put together our written agreements to spell things out is we'll talk about how and when a person gets paid if they decide to leave the business.
Now, you then put together some kind of a buy-sell agreement right up front?
Right. Yeah, that's what we try to do most of the time. That's what we recommend, you know, definitely. Sometimes, if it's really a small business, it may not be important to do it at that point in time. But if you have two, and certainly if you have three or more people involved, you need to have some kind of a buy-sell agreement, some idea of what's going to happen, because we want that business to continue on if one person leaves.
Well, you need to know who the players are then, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of the first things we ask. If one person comes in and says, I want to start the business, I ask them, well, who else is going to be involved?
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do? Are they going to put in any money? Because if the answers are, yes, there's somebody else, and they're going to be another owner, and they're going to put in money, we need to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to deal with it. And that's where you want to have the written agreement.
Is that where you decide whether it's going to be a corporation or an LLC or something of that nature?
Absolutely, if there's going to be more than one person, we want to have an LLC or a corporation. The other aspect of that is looking at where do you want to be in the future? If you're going to be still a fairly small company 5 or 10 years down the road, maybe an S corporation is just as good for you as an LLC is. Mm-hmm. If you think you really want to grow and have a lot of investors, then you're probably better off looking at an LLC.
Well, then you should also name corporate officers then at the same time so you know who's kind of ahead of the corporation?
Correct. You name corporate officers. Now, with an LLC, you don't have to have officers. The statute says you may have a manager,
mm-hmm.
But you can set it up as you want. You can have managers and officers or just officers and no managers. You can have no managers at all. Just the members do everything.
My golly, there's so much to know. That's why we need, again, Jim Reddick, right? We need him behind you to help make sort all of this, or the Aronson & Moss Law Firm.
That's
for
right.
Sure.
Aronson & Moss will guide you through it.
Absolutely. Now, how do they get a hold of the Aronson & Moss Law Firm should they would like more information on what we're talking about?
If they want more information, they can look at our website, www.aronsonlaw.com, or they can call us. The phone number is 319-363-8199.
And you're right here in Cedar Rapids, right?
Right here in Cedar Rapids, right downtown, 425 2nd Street Southeast.
Now, you're going to be with us next week, and what are we going to talk about then? Do we know yet? I know it's here.
I'm probably going to talk about bankruptcy.
Consumer bankruptcy. Interesting subject. You bet. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks.
And we'll see you next week.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.